hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Superstar Lionel Messi of Argentina says he's planning to retire from international football after a frustrating loss to Chile in the Copa America Centenario final at MetLife Stadium near New York City. Chile successfully defended its Copa America title by beating Argentina on penalty kicks 4-2 after 120 minutes of scoreless football. Chile also beat Argentina on penalty kicks in last year's final. Messi missed Argentina's opening penalty kick and was shown in tears while sitting in the team dugout. Messi's teammates say they hope his decision is not final. While he's won every trophy possible at the club level with Barcelona, Messi's only titles with Argentina have been at the Under-20 World Cup and the 2008 Olympics in China. VOA Spanish branch reporter Celia Mendoza attended the Copa America final at MetLife Stadium. VOA sports reporter Ben Cento reached her in New York and asked Celia for her reaction to Messi's remarks.
I think it comes from a very emotional place. He hasn't been able to give Argentina a World Cup or an actual championship win outside of Argentina. And that's something that has weighed very heavy on him. We saw it last night after he missed the penalty, and that was something that definitely broke him down. Coming out of this game without a win, just show him again that it's very hard for him to face the pressure and a final. And it might be just pretty much what he's saying is, I'm not giving up on Argentina. What he's saying pretty much is, they might be doing better without me. And remember, it is his nation. He did tremendous efforts to be able to come to the Copa America playing with Barca. And that's something that it shows you how important the team is for him. And that might be the reason why he's saying that. Not because he's saying that he doesn't care about Argentina, but in the contrary, is that he cares so much that he wants to make sure that they win. And if he feels that maybe he is in the way of that win, he'd rather be out.
Does Messi retiring from international football at the age of 29 diminish his claim to be the greatest footballer of all time?
I don't think so. I think it all depends. Everything has different views. We know that he has been the player with the most goals on the team of Argentina. He has done a tremendous job in soccer. He has shown things that we had never seen before with tremendous humility, and he has been a great example and a role model. But those that believe that Pelé will always be the greatest in the world, or those that think that Maradona is still the greatest because he actually won championships and World Cups with Argentina, will always believe it. I think he still has a lot of career to go. I think Messi will still be able to play for many more years and accomplish things that he hasn't. But I think he's work has shown how great of a player he is. But in the world of sports, everything is possible, and it depends who is the fans and who is talking about him that will be able to give him a place. But his statistics, his numbers have shown us that he's one of the greatest players in history.
A lot of his teammates and even his coach are hoping to convince him to come back and play for Argentina. Do you think we'll see him in 2 years in the World Cup?
We might. 2 years is enough time for someone to be able to reason and for the team to play with him and to try to help him to understand that he's needed on the team. I know that yesterday other players and even his coach were saying he's talking because he's right now emotional, and he's saying these things because of that. We'll see what happens. 2 years is actually a long time in soccer. A lot of things could happen. But hopefully the fans and the press and everybody that is behind him will be able to convince him. We saw a lot of headlines in Argentina from pages and newspapers that are saying, please don't go. And that's something that it shows you that Argentina is behind him and they want him in his team.
Celia, it seemed like the vast majority of people were saying that this would be Argentina's year. What happened?
Well, like always happens, the game wasn't enough. The team wasn't ready for that final. They were not able to score during the game. They had a lot of opportunities, but they were not able to make it into the net. And everything in sports, if you don't take those opportunities when time is proper, then you have the chance to lose it. And that's pretty much what happened at the end. They left it to chance the same way as they left it last time when they met in the last final. So as definitely Argentina has to fix some problems. Messi did everything he could during the game. We saw him fighting for that ball. At one point, he had four players from Chile surrounding him, and that shows you how hard it was for him to actually play his game. However, he did everything he could on his hands and missed it just right at the end with that penalty.
The match went to penalty kicks for a second straight year. What kept the game even at zero for 120 minutes?
I think both teams were playing to defend themselves. At one point, we saw that they had a lot of aggression between the teams, and I believe that that also kept the game from scoring. We saw a lot of fouls. We saw a lot of tension between both teams. At one point, we almost saw a fight breaking out on the field between players and the referee. A lot of the players and a lot of the fans are blaming the referee for keeping this game the way it was.
What was the attitude that you saw from the fans of either side after the game?
It was very disappointing. I saw a lot of Argentinians. There was a large number of Argentinians on the crowds, and they were crying. They were disappointed. They were pretty much just, some of them were angry, screaming and yelling at the players, at Messi. We saw others, they were just, they couldn't even move out of their seats. When the whole event started to try to give the Copa out, some of them just had to leave the stadium. They couldn't stand it to see Chile on the screen getting the Copa. For Chileans, it was emotional. They also had tears, tears of joy. They were chanting and jumping and very, very celebratory for them. It was revindication because it's the second Copa that they win, and they win it outside of Chile. They had been fighting the whole idea that they won last time because they were in Chile, and now they win in the United States. So for them, this definitely is a confirmation that they deserved it and they actually win it fair and straight.
How should the Chileans feel going into the 2018 World Cup in Russia after beating world number one Argentina for a second straight year?
Well, I think they will feel very confident. Chile has a very young and powerful team. We saw it during the Copa. They're able to score. They're able to work together. And we'll see what happens. But I think they have a good goalkeeper that was able to keep a lot of the balls out of the net. And they probably will do everything possible to be the champions of the World Cup in Russia. We'll see what happens. Time will tell, but they are confident of what they have done here.
Now that the Copa America is over, what can we take away? Has there been a shift in power?
I think so. I mean, South America is still dominating the teams in South America, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, Colombia. They have shown that they are more powerful than teams on the northern part of the hemisphere, like Mexico or even the United States. But also we saw United States become a better team overall. And that's something that we'll have to pay attention because they're working to actually get in the top of the teams in the world, even though soccer is not a very popular sport, at least on the male side in the United States. But definitely, we have seen a shift. We have seen other countries shown their quality of soccer and how they've been playing and how they've been working to try to make it in the lead of this game. And the United States, I think, is going to be an interesting surprise in the next couple of years.
That's Celia Mendoza of the Voice of America's Spanish branch. And Celia was talking from New York City with VOA sports reporter Ben Cento. Joining us now for an update on the European Football Championship in France is VOA sports reporter Jonah Haskell. Sporty greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The knockout stages began over the weekend with the round of 16, and there are two more games Monday. Historic powerhouses Italy and Spain meet first, followed by a matchup between England and Iceland. And while the Italy-Spain game should be close and hard-fought, England will be expected to roll over Iceland. But I wouldn't count the Icelanders out just yet. Their defense has been strong throughout the tournament, and they showed the ability to beat a good team by defeating Austria in the group. Meanwhile, six teams have already gone through to the quarterfinals after they won over the weekend. On Saturday, Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal beat Croatia 1-0 after an extra-time goal from Ricardo Quaresma, and Wales beat Northern Ireland 1-0 in a matchup of UK members. Poland needed penalties to advance past Switzerland after they drew 1-1 in extra time, but got the 5-4 win in the shootout. On Sunday, it was host nation France in action as they fell behind Ireland after an early penalty, but two second-half goals from Antoine Griezmann put the French in front and sent them through to the quarters. World champions Germany were also through after a 3-0 win over Slovakia, and Belgium racked up the most one-sided scoreline of the tournament with a dominating 4-0 victory against Hungary.
Yeah, I think we're going to win it. That's the feeling now.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, and so many goals. Yeah. So, yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was a big, big game. 4-0 is the biggest score we made for the whole tournament. So I'm very happy with the result and with the play. It was a little bit difficult in the second game, but it was amazing, amazing, really. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, but today we really had a team. Before we had 11 good players, but now today we had a very good team. They started great in the first half. Then the start of the second half was a bit harder, but we held on and we won. So very glad. So we're going to have a drink tonight, I think.
Those were Belgian fans celebrating in France after the win, and their team will be facing Gareth Bale and Wales in the quarters, so they may have a good chance of moving on. In the other quarterfinals, Poland will take on Portugal, Germany will play the winner of the Italy-Spain matchup, and France will play the victor of the England-Iceland game. The quarterfinal round begins on Thursday, June 30th, with the Poland-Portugal match, and while the final will take place on June 10th. I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. Turning to tennis, top seed and defending champion Novak Djokovic easily won his opening match at Wimbledon Monday as first-round action got underway at the prestigious grass court tournament. The Serbian star defeated Britain's James Ward in straight sets 6-love, 7-6, and 6-4 to continue one of the most dominating streaks in tennis history. Earlier this month, Djokovic beat another British opponent, Andy Murray, in the final of the French Open to become the first man in 47 years to hold all four major Grand Slam trophies at the same time.
You know, very blessed to achieve this childhood dream and win this tournament three times. I still feel that that kind of excitement as I'm coming in for the first time. So, of course, situation this year is quite different from previous years because I'm coming in with a Roland Garros title for the first time, and that gives me obviously a lot of confidence.
Novak Djokovic has a lot of confidence, but he certainly doesn't sound overconfident. He says he continues to work on his game as he tries to get even better.
I'm trying to be dedicated to my own progress, my own improvement. Obviously, I'm at the peak of my career at the moment, and hopefully can still keep going. I see still lots of room for improvement and things that I can work on, and that's something that encourages me, and that's something that keeps me grounded in a way, gives me more reason to practice.
That Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic, who's aiming for his third consecutive Wimbledon title, his fifth straight Grand Slam championship, and his 13th major title overall. In golf, here's a sunny side of sports salute to American Billy Hurley III, who won his first PGA Tour title here in the Washington area. Hurley shot a 17 under par total of 267 to win the Quicken Loans National Tournament at Congressional Country Club in Bethesda, Maryland, just outside Washington. Hurley finished three shots ahead of Fiji's Vijay Singh, who at 53 was trying to become the oldest player to win a PGA Tour event. Meanwhile, the 34-year-old Hurley is a graduate of the United States Naval Academy. He collected a winner's check of $1,242,000. In addition, Hurley was presented the trophy by tournament host Tiger Woods, who has been injured and did not compete in Bethesda. However, Tiger did take some time to comment on the Olympic golf tournament in Rio de Janeiro in August, which has seen the withdrawal of some top players.
Well, I think it'll be a spectacular event just because it's the Olympics. It would be better if we had a more top-heavy field. For me personally, I wish that they would have gone, like, say, the top 50 guys in the world, you know, that kind of thing, and just done it that way. I know they're trying to only have, four guys from each country participate. But, you know, I just wish that it would have had more quality of field, similar to what we face in major championships or the World Golf Championships or the players. You know, we have these top-heavy fields, and I think the Olympics really deserve that. But I understand they're trying to promote the game of golf and give more participants a chance to be a part of the Olympic experience and be part of golf. Try to get more of these countries that have not traditionally been part of golf to be a part of it and for them to grow. And Brazil being one of them, to have two players that aren't ranked very high but still be able to compete in the Olympics, I think it's great for the country of Brazil.
American golf star Tiger Woods speaking at the Quicken Loans National Tournament here in the Washington area. The U.S. Olympic men's basketball team will be bidding for its third consecutive gold medal in Brazil in August. USA Basketball has officially unveiled its 12-man roster for the Rio Games. Joining me now here in Studio 22 is VOA Sports reporter Toddy Abeje. Sporty greetings, Toddy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Toddy, why don't you run down the roster for our VOA basketball fans?
Kyrie Irving of the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers, and he was the MVP of the 2014 Basketball World Cup. Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Carmelo Anthony of the New York Knicks. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Harrison Barnes of the Golden State Warriors. Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings, and DeAndre Jordan of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Toddy, Kyrie Irving coming off a sensational NBA Finals. Do you see him as one of the keys for the Americans winning gold?
Absolutely. He is a key player because he has the confidence after a great performance in this year's Finals. And some have said that he should have been the MVP over LeBron. So he'll carry that confidence to the U.S. team.
Who else do you see as being keys for the Americans as they go for gold?
I say Kevin Durant, because he's now the star of the team now that LeBron did not participate. And then they get veteran leadership from Carmelo Anthony, because this will be his fourth World Cup. So he's going for his third gold medal, and Kevin Durant, he's going to go for his second.
Kevin Durant, of course, one of the most prized free agents this offseason. Do you see KD staying in Oklahoma City or going elsewhere?
I could see KD staying with the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I wouldn't be surprised if he went to the Warriors.
How about the Wizards?
Well, they don't have much of a chance.
Well, we can hope, though, right?
Yeah, we can hope. You never know. KD could change his mind and come back home. Come home, KD.
That's right. He was born right here in Washington.
Yes, he was.
Well, Toddy, finally, how do you rate the chances of the Americans winning gold again?
I expect they have a very good chance. I mean, the U.S. is the best at basketball. I don't see anybody beating them.
All right, VOA Sports reporter Toddy Abeje. Thank you, Toddy. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, right now trending is the result from the Copa America final. Now, the match happened last night, but even more so than the match itself was the announcement afterwards by Lionel Messi, who said he's going to retire from international play. He's not going to play with the Argentine soccer team anymore, saying, "I tried, I'm done." So a lot of social media reaction to this, a lot of shock on social media. Some people struggling to grasp if this is real. Some people saying, is he just frustrated he'll come back and maybe say that he's not retiring. They're hoping that he won't retire from international play. And in fact, there's a Pakistani cricketer who kind of got dragged into this in an odd kind of way. His name is Shahid Afridi. And Shahid Afridi has played cricket for a number of years, has announced his retirement. And every time he's announced his retirement, he's come back and said, "Oh, no, I'm not retiring. I'm going to go back and play." So a lot of social media activity saying, well, maybe you could be like Saheed Afridi, Lionel Messi. Maybe you could, you know, say, oh, I'm retiring, and then next year say, oh, no, I'm coming back, or come back in, you know, a couple of years for the next World Cup. You know, 2018, people saying, do we really think he's not going to play in 2018? He's young. He really wants to go for this. And he, you could see the passion and the, you know, real sadness on his face and shared across social media, those heartbreaking pictures where he's just kind of crumpled up on the field. They said this guy cares too much about not just the sport, but his country and his team to leave it all behind.
Only 29 years old. I think it's maybe unlikely that we won't see him in Russia in 2018.
You know, it's, who knows? It's, that's the thing. It's just this big question mark right now and a lot of speculation on social media if this comes to fruition. But the one thing that we've seen time and time again with athletes, not just Saheed Afridi, but others, is that they'll retire and then after a couple of years say, you know what? I really do love the sport. I want to give it another go to varying degrees of success. I can think of some athletes who have come back and have won, you know, championships. I think of some that have come back and maybe should have stayed retired. But I think Messi is young enough that if he comes back, he'll have a good shot at some good international wins.
Well, one guy who I don't think will be retiring anytime soon, Novak Djokovic, easily wins his opening match at Wimbledon on Monday. Andrew, is Wimbledon trending?
Absolutely. And hashtag Wimbledon, as Novak Djokovic took the court earlier today. It's tradition there at Wimbledon that the men's champion from the previous year is the first match on center court. So he was the first matchup today. And a lot of excitement about Novak Djokovic on social media, not just going for the calendar Grand Slam, which hasn't been done in decades, but the golden calendar Slam, which has only been done once by any player, male or female, is done by Steffi Graf in 1988, where she won all four Grand Slams and the Olympic gold medal in tennis.
Okay. So the golden part is Olympic title in addition to the Grand Slams.
So he'll go after Wimbledon. He'll head down to Rio, and he'll play in the Olympics there. And if he can win the gold medal there, and he wins at the U.S. Open, and, of course, wins at Wimbledon, the current tournament, he'll have that golden slam. He'll be the first player, male player, to do that. So a lot of attention on Novak Djokovic. No pressure on him, right? You know, all this attention, eyes all on him. Right now, we haven't had too many major upsets. The biggest, I think, on the women's side so far is Anna Ivanovic, who is the previous French Open champion. She's been having some wrist issues, so she tweeted about that in the post-press conference, said that she was having wrist problems continuing. So she lost in her match. But just the excitement of Wimbledon. It's going to be an exciting 2 weeks. A lot of people hoping that it won't be a rematch of the French Open in the sense of the rain. Mm. Of course, there were a number of delays that we talked about on the show here. Somebody photoshopped a picture of an Olympic-sized swimming pool in the place of the French Open red clay court at Roland Garros. So they're hoping that the, you know, the grass will be well-watered, but not so watered that it becomes a deluge and they can get things done on time at the at Wimbledon.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Celia Mendoza of the Voice of America Spanish branch. Celia, of course, chatted earlier in the show with Ben Cento about Lionel Messi and Chile successfully defending its Copa America title. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
When we go back to Wimbledon, there's a bit of a snafu that Nike is facing. They've designed, of course, outfits for the players that they're sponsoring, including Serena Williams, probably the biggest athlete that they're sponsoring on the female side. Roger Federer is a big Nike person on the men's side. But for the women, they had a bit of a problem with the outfits they designed. Apparently, when the women were serving, the outfits were kind of flying up, revealing some of their, you know, the shorts they were wearing underneath, and they were not happy about that. So Nike's getting a lot of negative attention that they had to go back and actually re-alter and redesign these outfits for these female players. A lot of comparisons on social media saying it looks like maybe something you'd wear to bed and not on the tennis court. So a little bit of a snafu for Nike, but that's the other element of Wimbledon. Everybody has to wear white. It's the rule of the All England Lawn and Tennis Club, so they get to kind of critique the outfits. Not the colors, but the outfits themselves.
And it's tradition.
Yes, it is.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the June 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There is plenty of evidence that if peace efforts are to succeed, women must be involved in the process. But too often in the past, women have been shut out of participating in peace negotiations and peacekeeping. That is why, 4 years ago, the U.S. Department of State released the U.S. National Action Plan on Women, Peace, and Security, which seeks to ensure that women participate equally in preventing conflict and building peace in countries threatened and affected by war, violence, and insecurity. The Global Peace Operations Initiative, or GPOI, is a part of this effort. It is a U.S. government-funded security assistance program that works with partner countries to deliver the training and tools needed to help stabilize countries in conflict and support United Nations and regional peace operations. One of GPOI's key tenets is to engage, consult, and protect women in all aspects of peace operations. And so, of the nearly 200,000 personnel that GPOI has helped to train and deploy to peace operations worldwide, more than 6,000 have been women. Latin American nations have a long history of peacekeeping operations, so, working with regional partners, GPOI has helped develop and build a regional mobile training team of U.S. and Latin American experts on gender issues, human rights, organizational development, and peacekeeping. Now they are mentoring future peacekeepers in Latin America on issues such as enhancing the role of women in deploying peacekeeping forces and training peacekeepers to better interact and engage with the women in the societies they are charged to serve and protect. While working to address the growing global demand for peacekeepers, the United States remains steadfast in the effort to increase the participation of women as peacekeepers, as well as expanding their role and leveraging their perspective, all of which help protect other women in some of the world's most challenging global hotspots, wrote Stephanie Purdy, a program analyst for strategy at the State Department. By encouraging and supporting collaborative training initiatives with leading peacekeeping contributors, we build upon our partners' historical peacekeeping perspectives and create an avenue through which to exchange expertise, experiences, and ideas, which in turn creates more credible and effective peacekeepers.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the 18-year-old prison sentence given to former Congolese Vice President Jean-Pierre Bemba by the International Criminal Court for rape and murder in the Central African Republic. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.